You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hey everyone, welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Tim McMaster talking Boston Red Sox baseball with MLB.com Red Sox reporter Ian Brown. And I guess, Ian, if you want to look at this team and on the bright side of things, they play well in a four-game set with the Royals over the weekend. They dropped the last two games of that series, but it seemed like all four games were winnable. It seems like this team is playing better baseball, but maybe not in the last couple of innings of each game.
Well, yeah, I mean, you look, the Red Sox don't have a closer right now. Cody Uehara broke his wrist. If the Red Sox were in a pennant race, that would have been a devastating loss. As it is, it's just making things not look quite as pretty right now. Look, Junichi Tozawa, he's not a closer. It's obvious, you know, every time. It seems like every time he goes out there in the ninth inning, he struggles. You know, some guys are just built to pitch the eighth inning and not the ninth, and I think Junichi falls in that category. You look at that Red Sox roster, and there's really nobody else on that team who's a closer. So, yeah, the ninth inning is going to be dicey. And, you know, to be honest, for the Red Sox for the rest of the season, it's not really about wins and losses. It's about the development of individual players and how they might fit in for Dave Dombrowski and company going forward.
Yeah, obviously Dombrowski has a lot of watching to do and figuring things out. And one thing we saw on Tuesday was Hanley Ramirez working out at first base. And I think that's been a long thought of plan as far as this team or even what fans have thought made sense. Is it starting to become a reality, the thought of Hanley maybe being the first baseman in 2016?
I think so. Look, this is Hanley playing first base makes sense for a number of reasons. The first is that he's not a very good left fielder. I mean, and I'm not going to dock Hanley Ramirez's effort. I think that he came to spring training early. I think he honestly worked at trying to be a good left fielder. I think what's happened is this guy has had knee surgeries in his career, and he's had other ailments, and, you know, just running around in the outfield is just not for him right now, and he's been exposed out there, and I think that it's time to put him in the infield. And the other reason why this is good is because, you know, Jackie Bradley Jr. has really come on. Ruznick Castillo has really come on. Mookie Betts has been there all year for this team. So you look at a young, exciting outfield of Castillo, Betts, and Bradley, and, you know, Hanley Ramirez would only force a logjam there. So I think even Hanley admitted on Tuesday, look, we're a better team if I can move to first and we can play these three guys in the outfield. So I think that's exciting for the Red Sox. And it's just going to be a matter of, A, how does Hanley respond to another position switch? Hopefully he responds better to first than he did to left. And B, where is his bat? Is his bat going to come back? I mean, I'm more surprised by Hanley Ramirez's lack of offense this year than his lack of defense. His offense since May 1st has been downright pedestrian. I mean, they signed this guy to be an elite hitter, and he hasn't been a good hitter at all this year, you know, since May 1st. So he needs to get his offense back, too.
How much of that do you think could be attributed to the outfield and maybe taking some of his struggles in the outfield with him to the plate?
Yeah, I think that might be some of it. I think Hanley has actually also had a lot of injuries this year that have he banged his shoulder into the wall the last day of April, and his offense has really gone in the tailspin since. So I think maybe that injury was more serious than he let in on at the time. He's had some other sort of nagging injuries. So I think it's been a combination of things, but they need this guy. At the money he's making, they need him to be to mash the baseball. So that's kind of a goal for this team, is to get his bat going before the season ends, so they can at least have some hope that he's going to get back to that middle-of-the-order bat they expected for next year.
Well, that kind of brings us to Travis Shaw, a guy that's been brought up and has really hit the ball well and played first base. So when you talk about Hanley Ramirez moving to first base and you have Travis Shaw in the system, one of these prospects, is there a future for Travis Shaw with this team? And is that one of the things David Dombrowski needs to figure out here over the next month?
Yeah, you know, Travis Shaw, you know, they'll see what they have. If nothing else, look, Travis Shaw's kind of built up some trade value here. And he's a left-handed bat with power. He can play some different positions. So I think that, you know, you could also have a guy like Travis Shaw on your bench, maybe, who could rotate a little bit from first to third to the outfield, maybe sub in at DH for Poppy every now and then. So, yeah, I think Travis Shaw could still have a role with this team, or he could be a chip in the trade. But, yeah, his emergence has been very good to watch here. And, you know, at the same time, you can't react to a small sample size with Travis Shaw. There have been guys who have just, you know, gotten hot at the right time, and then you put them out there for a full season, and they just, then teams get a scouting report on them, and they just can't duplicate it. So I think it's still too early to know quite what Travis Shaw is for this team.
Edward Rodriguez was skipped in a start to keep his innings down. Is there a chance that he's shut down at some point when he reaches an innings limit, or are they just going to be careful with him, throw in some extra days, and have him pitch out the rest of the season?
Yeah, I think they'll just more be careful with Eduardo Rodriguez and maybe skip a start here or there, give him some extra rest like they're doing this time, and keep a real close eye on his pitch count the rest of the way. Because look, this guy, I think they think that he can be a number one pitcher in a year or two from now, and they don't want to do anything to jeopardize that, so they're going to be extra careful with him going forward.
The big news on Tuesday, besides the team on the field, was off the field, and the news that Dave O'Brien will move in as the Red Sox TV play-by-play man, replacing Don Orsillo. Orsillo's been there since 2001. He's been there through the three championships, and I think he's a very popular guy in New England as far as fans go. Were you surprised to hear this news?
I wasn't shocked, only because, when you're in this industry, you sort of hear some rumblings. Not totally shocked, but it's just sort of saddened because he's been such a true professional and a really good announcer for this Red Sox team. And I know that it was his, it was his dream to cover the Boston Red Sox and to kind of be their broadcaster really for the rest of his career. So I think it's crushing to Don to see this change, but it's also, this is the way the industry goes sometimes. And look, Dave O'Brien is also a lead announcer, a national announcer. So I guess the Red Sox, or I guess Nesson, felt that they wanted Dave O'Brien in the TV spot there after doing such a fine job on radio. But Don, I just can't say what a great professional and what a good guy Don Orsillo is, not just on the air, but off the air too. I think the whole Red Sox team, really, players, coaches, manager, front office, everyone's going to miss seeing Don Orsillo around the baseball team. He does nothing but put smiles on people's faces.
And I think one thing he had in that booth was the relationship with Jerry Remy as well, and what those guys had, even during some dark times on the field, it seemed like their humor and the fun they had kept things interesting.
Yeah, no, there was a unique chemistry between John and Jerry, and even before that, Sean McDonough had a similar sort of dynamic with Jerry Remy, where they were always coming up all the time. And yeah, I think that fans love that stuff, and I'm sure that Dave O'Brien will establish his own dynamic in the booth, and that will set him apart as well. Just everyone has their different styles. It's like these broadcasters. When you're a fan of a team and you watch all the games, every day for 15 years, you start to feel like, Don Orsillo is part of your family, And I think a lot of viewers felt that way. Even though they didn't know him, they felt like he did. And I think it's tough initially to hear that, hey, this guy's not going to be, the soundtrack of my summer anymore. It's going to be a new voice. And, fortunately, like I said, Dave O'Brien, there's no step down in talent there. I mean, Dave O'Brien is one of the best baseball announcers, or just announcers, period. Very versatile, also does some college basketball for ESPN. He's a great announcer in his own right. It's just going to be a little bit of a different style, I think, from Don.
Yeah, and Dave, like Don, also a guy who grew up in the area, I think grew up a Red Sox fan, and fans have been listening to him on the radio for the last couple of years, so it'll certainly be a smooth transition. Ian, Jim Callis, in the last couple of weeks, has re-ranked his minor league systems. And the Red Sox, despite graduating guys like Swihart, Rodriguez, Betts, and all these prospects they've had that have come up to the big leagues, they actually moved up into the number one spot. What does that say about this team, that they can lose the talent, or not lose the system, but graduate those players to the big leagues and now actually move up in the rankings, according to Jim Callis?
Yeah, it says that they've done a really good job developing some players and acquiring players internationally, and Ben Sherrington might have left his post and gone from the team, but he obviously left his mark on this franchise. When you see Jim Callis doing some rankings like that, so I think if the Red Sox win some more championships with this young group of players they have in the minor leagues right now, I think Ben Sherrington's legacy of maybe finishing last place 3 out of the 4 years he was general manager. I think it's going to take on a whole different turn after he leaves. And we saw the same thing with Dan Duquette here, where he was kind of maligned when he left. And then when the team won that world championship in 2004, a lot of people said, hey, you know, Dan Duquette had as much to do with that team as Steve Eustein team did. You know, he acquired a lot of these pieces. And I think that, you know, Ben Sherrington maybe made some mistakes when it came to some major league acquisitions the last couple years, but I don't think you can dispute, you know, what this team has done as a farm system, you know, while he was the general manager.
Yeah, Dave Dombrowski certainly has plenty of chips to play with because of what Sherrington did in his time there. All right, you've been listening to Red Sox Extras on MLB.com. Ian, we'll talk to you again next week.
MLB.TV Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.TV Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.TV for details.